Amen. Let's turn, please, to Galatians chapter 5. Galatians chapter 5. Looking at the fruits of the Spirit. Galatians chapter 5. And shall we pray? Heavenly Father, we thank you for the privilege to be in your house today. I pray that the Holy Spirit would minister to each of our hearts. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Galatians chapter 5, and verse 22. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness. Temperance, against such there is no law. We've looked at the first one, love. The second one is joy. The third one is peace. The fourth one is long-suffering. The fifth one is gentleness. The sixth one is goodness. The seventh, faith, and number eight, this warning, meekness. A fruit of the Spirit is meekness. Noah Webster's 1828 dictionary defines meekness as softness of temper, mildness, gentleness, forbearance under injuries and provocations, in an evangelical sense, humility, resignation, submission to the divine will, without murmuring or peevishness, opposed to pride, arrogance. Meekness is a grace which Jesus alone inculcated, and which no ancient philosopher seems to have understood or recommended. That's by Noah Webster. I thought that was interesting that he said back in 1828 that no ancient philosopher seem to have understood meekness or even recommended it. I thought that was interesting. Many people think of meekness as weakness. But meekness is really not weakness. Meekness is not thinking of self. Weakness may keep us from doing the right thing. Now, weakness may keep us humble, and weakness may keep us from being prideful. But weakness may keep us from doing the right thing. Weakness may keep us from speaking out when we should speak out. So meekness is not weakness. Meekness is not thinking of self. We'll try to apply that to many things today here as we look. So notice with me in Zephaniah chapter 2. Zephaniah chapter 2. Meekness sometimes would mean turning the other cheek. But sometimes meekness would mean going out to the battle, standing up all alone. Zephaniah chapter 2, Zephaniah 2 and verse 1. Gather yourselves together, yea, gather together, O nation not desired. Before the decree bring forth, before the day passes the chaff, before the fierce anger of the Lord come upon you, before the day of the Lord's anger come upon you, seek ye the Lord, all ye who? Meek of the earth, which have wrought, what? His judgment. So seek ye the Lord, all ye meek of the earth, which have wrought his judgment. Seek righteousness, seek what? Meekness. It may be ye shall be hid in the day of the Lord's anger. There's a lot of people through weakness or timidness that do not do the right thing. Like notice with me in Revelation chapter 21. Revelation chapter 21. There are certain sins or shortcomings or categories that are laid out for us here about those who will find themselves in hell. In Deuteronomy, or excuse me, Revelation 21:8. Revelation 21:8. But the who? Fearful. But the fearful and unbelieving, and the abominable, and murderers, and whoremongers, and sorcerers, and idolaters, and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. What is the first category God lists? The who? The fearful. How many people are afraid to repent and get saved because they're afraid what their friends will say? You may say, would that really matter? Yes, it would. You can have a bunch of guys. I was told about there was a group of construction guys, and they, I guess, were really macho, I guess. And they didn't want their wives ever coming and bringing anything to them on the job site. I can't imagine that. It would have never bothered me for my wife to come and bring me lunch on, during the day. But these guys were so, I guess, he-man type that was sissy to have their wives come and bring him anything for lunch. Doesn't it just show us how fear can intimidate people? I mean, one guy says, he's so he-man, that it's a sissy thing to have your wife come and bring you anything at work. And that can intimidate a whole crew of men. You know what I'd tell them? Go jump in the lake or something. I'd say, hey, if my wife wants to bring me something, you can call it whatever you want. But it just shows you how even men in construction, that are supposed to be so rough and rugged, can be afraid. Afraid of what? Afraid of what the other guys say. I know when I was younger and my hair was too long, and when I got my hair cut, that was one thing I feared was going back to work. I've told you about it before. I hated wearing hard hats, but we had to in our shop. And so I would normally go into the shop, get at my place, and when that final buzzer rang, I would finally put the hard hat on. I hated it. But that day, I walked into the factory with my hard hat on. It just shows the fear of man bringeth a snare. I was afraid of what those guys was going to say about my new haircut. I was afraid they was going to mock me. And it didn't do any good wearing a hard hat. I've never seen a hard hat which covers your ears, and suddenly my ears were sticking out, showing. And, hey, Mike, got a haircut? It didn't do any good putting that hard hat on. They could see I had a haircut. But just the fear of man bringeth a snare. Verse 8, the fearful, the biggest group in hell are going to be those who were afraid to get saved for one reason or another. Afraid of what someone was going to say. They say of us Christians, well, we're just weaklings. That's why we've got to have the Lord. We've got to have a crutch to lean on. I tell you, it takes a lot more strength to live for God than to follow the world. It's easy to follow the world. It's much harder to follow the Lord. So to be meek is not weak. It's just to not think of self. So to be meek is to stand up for the Lord. Notice in Numbers 12, in the Old Testament, we're told of a man who was the meekest man on the earth, and that man was Moses. Numbers chapter 12. Numbers chapter 12 and verse 1. Numbers 12, 1. And Miriam and Aaron spake against Moses because of the Ethiopian woman whom he had married, for he had married an Ethiopian woman. And they said, hath the Lord indeed spoken only by Moses? Hath he not spoken also by us? And the Lord heard it. Now the man Moses was very, what? Meek. Above all the men which were upon the face of the earth. God had put him through much adversity to get him to this point. When he was 40, thought he was ready to lead Israel out of Egypt. And he thought he was going to do it, if he had to, by killing the Egyptians one by one. But that was not God's way. And so Moses had to run for his life. And when Moses was 80, that's when God came to him. But what a change had come at 80. If you'd hold your place here, turn to me to Exodus chapter 3. Exodus chapter 3. What a change had happened in 40 years in the middle of nowhere. Moses had become very meek. Moses had come to the point where he no longer trusted himself to do anything. And that's what God desires of us. In Exodus 3, verse 10. God says, come now, therefore, and I will send thee unto Pharaoh, that thou mayest bring forth my people, the children of Israel, out of Egypt. And Moses said unto God, what? Who am I that I should go unto Pharaoh and that I should bring forth the children of Israel out of Egypt? Lord, who am I? At 40, he said, I'm the man. I've got the experience. I've got the experience in high places. I've got the name recognition. We've heard about that in the elections. Everyone knows me. I can do it. I can lead him. God couldn't use a man like that. But he could like this. Verse 11, who am I? Who am I that I should go unto Pharaoh? He had totally no longer trusted in himself. Notice what God says, verse 12. God didn't say, well, Moses, I know your past. I know your resume. You've had experience in the palace. No, God says, verse 12, and he said, certainly what? I will be with thee. That's it. God didn't point out one part of Moses' resume. As we're told in the book of Acts, he was a good speaker. He was mighty in words and deeds. God didn't bring up any of that. He just says, I'll be with you. I will be with you. And so he fights it. He doesn't really want to go. But verse 10 of chapter 4, look at chapter 4, verse 10. And Moses said it unto the Lord, O my Lord, I am not what? Eloquent. Neither heretofore nor since thou hast spoken unto thy servant, but I am slow of speech and of a slow tongue. And the Lord said unto him, who hath made man's mouth? Or who maketh the dumb or deaf or the seeing or the blind? Have not I the Lord? Now therefore go and what? I will be with thy mouth and teach thee what thou shalt say. Each time God just says, I'll be with you. And nothing has changed from Moses to us. Notice in Matthew 28. Matthew 28. Are we up to the task? No. But that's exactly the point. Are we some big church? No. But God has shown us this week. That's the type of people I want to use. The type of people that know they are nothing. Because why? In Matthew 28, verse 18. Matthew 28, 18, and Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto who? To me, Jesus, in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. Lord, how can we do that? How can we go to all nations? We're only one, and we're so feeble at that. Lord, how can we go to all nations? He says, and lo, in the middle of verse 20, and lo, what? I am with you, how often? Always, even in the end of the world. Amen. In the midst of adversity, when we say, Lord, the website is down. Lord, how are people going to find us? Well, we had no idea how many were finding it before. And so God pulls back the curtain and says, let me show you something. Let me show you what I have done in 5 days. God was in control all along. All along. And so he's the only one to glorify. And that's meekness is not weakness. Meekness is not thinking of self. It's allowing God to control our lives. And so back in Numbers 12, Miriam and Aaron speak against Moses. What does Moses do? Well, what would you do if your big brother and big sister spoke against you? What would you do? Let's see here. I'm sorry, I'm in Exodus here. I'll get the right place here. Numbers chapter 12. What would you do? Well, you'd say, I would go tell dad and moms what I would do. Well, I think they're a little old for that at this point. So what would you do? Especially in Moses' position. Moses was the youngest of the three. Maybe he would have thought about, well, maybe I'll just kick you out, brother and sister. You just get out of here. You're going to talk against me? He didn't do that. Verse 3 said he was, Numbers 12:3, now the man Moses was very meek above all the men which were upon the face of the earth. Who was it that spoke about this talk going around? Verse 4, and who? The Lord. It wasn't Moses. You know, politicians are good at this. They're good at spreading rumors, you know, about each other. And so then the one politician has to make some advertisements, you know, against the other person. Moses didn't do that. Moses didn't speak about it publicly. He let the Lord take care of it. Verse 4, and the Lord spake suddenly unto Moses and unto Aaron and unto Miriam, come out ye three unto the tabernacle of the congregation, and they three came out. Verse 5, and the Lord came down in the pillar of the cloud and stood in the door of the tabernacle and called Aaron and Miriam, and they both came forth. And he said, hear now my words. If there be a prophet among you, I, the Lord, will make myself known unto him in a vision and will speak unto him in a dream. My servant Moses is not so, who is faithful in all mine house. With him will I speak mouth to mouth, even apparently, and not in dark speeches. And the similitude of the Lord shall he behold. Wherefore then were ye not afraid to speak against my servant Moses? And the anger of the Lord was kindled against them, and he departed. And the cloud departed from off the tabernacle, and behold, who? Miriam became leprous, white as snow. And Aaron looked upon Miriam, and behold, she was leprous. Moses didn't. The Bible said Moses was the meekest man upon the face of the earth. And he didn't try to defend himself against his brother and sister. He allowed God to handle it. Meekness is not weakness, but meekness is not thinking of self. And he just left it in God's hands, and God took care of it. Miriam became leprous. Now, Moses inside didn't think, yay, Lord! Finally, my big sister got what's coming to her. I mean, sorry, big sisters, but you know how it is sometimes. Sometimes big sisters just love to mother it over everyone. I know you're not that way, but some other families, it's that way. And sometimes, I mean, big sisters just like to be little mothers, you know? And, I mean, they're practicing for someday, okay? But Moses didn't have that attitude. Yeah, Miriam finally she got what's coming. No, that was not the way he felt at all. Verse 11, and Aaron said unto Moses, alas, my Lord, I beseech thee, lay not the sin upon us, wherein we have done foolishly, and wherein we have sinned. Let her not be as one dead, of whom the flesh is half consumed, when he cometh out of his mother's womb. And Moses cried unto the Lord, saying, heal her now, O God, I beseech thee. His prayer immediately was, Lord, please heal my sister. There wasn't any bitterness in his heart about, yeah, it's about time somebody put her in her place. No, that wasn't his attitude. It was, Lord, please heal my sister. And God did. God did heal Miriam. So what a man of example of meekness. Not thinking of self, not getting offended when someone spoke against him. And that's the same way we're supposed to be. Notice in Romans chapter 12, you know what? People are going to speak against all of us. Sometimes it will be our own relatives. I know that may be hard for you to believe, but sometimes that happens. Sometimes our very own flesh and blood will speak against us. Don't get offended. Don't go around with a chip on your shoulder. Remember Moses. He wasn't glad when calamities came upon his sister. He prayed for her healing. And notice in Romans chapter 12, verse 14. Romans 12:14, bless them which what? Persecute you. Bless and curse not. Rejoice with them that do rejoice and weep with them that weep. Moses wasn't rejoicing suddenly. I mean, can you imagine someone looking at you and you know something's wrong? When I was young, I was playing up on a swing set, one of the old metal ones that on the ends, you know, the ends are like an A, or well, they're maybe like a teepee, but there's a cross brace, so it makes it look like an A. And so I was standing up on that cross brace, and I don't know whether the swing set came with long bolts or whether the bolts had worked their way out and my dad had put long bolts, and I don't know, but there were no plastic caps on those ends of those bolts. And anyway, I was up there playing, and I jumped down. And my brother was in one of the swings. And I jumped down. I didn't know anything was wrong. And he looked at me just with this face, terrified. I knew something was wrong, but I didn't know what. And he was pointing at my arm. And I'll not describe to you, because lunch is not too far off if I stop preaching. Probably my face looked the same way when I looked down at my arm. I hadn't seen that deep into my flesh. So anyway, we had to take a trip to the doctor real quick. So, but can you imagine Aaron's face when he's looking at his sister? She is covered with leprosy. I mean, he is petrified. And then when someone is looking at you with that look, you're petrified. And Moses, I mean, so Aaron and Miriam are petrified at this sight. Moses could have been rejoicing, but no. Rejoice with them that rejoice, but weep with them that weep. And verse 16, be of the same mind one toward another. Mind not high things, but condescend to men of low estate. Be not wise in your own conceits. Recompense to no man evil for evil. Provide things honest in the sight of all men, if it be possible, as much as lieth in you. Live peaceably with all men. Dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. Therefore, if thine enemy hunger, what? Feed him. If he thirst, what? Give him drink. For in so doing, thou shalt heap coals of fire on his head. Be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good. And so, you know, meekness, we just kind of have the idea, well, it's turning the other cheek. Well, there is a time to do that. Notice in Matthew 5, there's a time when we need to turn the other cheek. But that's what meekness is. It's not thinking of self. Matthew 5:38. So Moses didn't say, well, you know what? You've really hurt me deeply by your words. You really hurt me deeply. And so it'll serve you right if you suffer a while. You know, come to me tomorrow and ask me, you know, if I'll pray for Miriam to be healed. I'll think about it. That wasn't his attitude. Matthew 5:38. You have heard that it has been said, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. But I say unto you that you resist not evil. But whosoever shall smite thee on the right cheek, turn to him the other also. And if any man will sue thee at the law and take away thy coat, let him have thy cloak also. And whosoever shall compel thee to go a mile, go with him twain. Give to him that asketh thee, and from him that would borrow of thee, turn not thou away. So that's the part of meekness that's not thinking of self. But you know, in Zephaniah chapter 2, it talked about seeking the Lord, all ye meek of the earth, which have wrought his judgment. Let me show you something about Moses in Exodus 32. Exodus 32. You cannot say that meekness is weakness, because in this instance, Moses is very strong when no one else, other than maybe Joshua, will stand with him. In Exodus 32 and verse 15, at least at the moment, some other men are going to stand with him real shortly, but in Exodus 32, excuse me, and verse 15, Exodus 32:15, And Moses turned and went down from the mount, and the two tables of the testimony were in his hand. The tables were written on both their sides, on the one side, and on the other side were they written. Verse 17, when Joshua heard the noise of the people as they shouted, he said unto Moses, there is a noise of war in the camp. And he, Moses, said, it is not the voice of them that shout for mastery, neither is it the voice of them that cry for being overcome, but the noise of them that sing do I hear. And it came to pass, as soon as he saw, came nigh unto the camp, that he saw the calf and the dancing. And Moses, what? Anger waxed hot, and he cast the tables out of his hands and brake them beneath the mount. And he took the calf which they had made, and what? Burn it in the fire, and then what? Ground it to powder and strawed it upon the water and made the children of Israel drink of it. Now, if someone ground something to powder and spread it on the water and then said, drink, what would you do? You might say, make me. No, you just scattered all that stuff in there. I'm not going to drink out of that. The Bible says he made them drink. Don't ever say Moses was weak. The Bible says he was meek, the meekest man on the earth. But when it came time when they had offended the true and holy God by imagining that he was a golden calf, that was it. He ground that thing to powder, scattered it on the water, and made them drink. He made them drink. The point is Moses was meek. He did not think of self. When people were talking about him, he didn't get offended. Great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. When they were talk, when his own brother and sister were talking about him, he didn't get offended. He didn't get mad. He didn't try to take vengeance. Just left it up to God. He let God do the talking. He didn't think of self. But I tell you something, when he came down from that mountain, and they were worshiping a golden calf. Once again, he did not think of self. He went into action. He ground that thing to powder, and he made him drink. Now, he had no guarantee that people were not going to try to fight him. I mean, in the Bible, if we had the time right now, we could look. At times they spake of stoning him. They were not above killing Moses. At times they wanted to, but he didn't think of self. Meekness is not weakness. It's not thinking of self. Meekness at times must move us to stand up for the Lord. One last example, the Lord Jesus in Matthew 21. Matthew chapter 21, same thing. The Lord Jesus came meek. Matthew 21, verse 1. And when they drew nigh unto Jerusalem and were come to Bethphage unto the Mount of Olives, then said Jesus to disciples, saying to them, go into the village over against you, and straightway you shall find an ass tied and a colt with her. Loose them and bring them unto me. And if any man say aught unto you, ye shall say the Lord hath need of them, and straightway he will send them. Matthew 21:4. All this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the prophet, saying, tell ye the daughter of Sion, behold, thy king cometh unto thee, what? Meek, and sitting upon an ass and a colt, the foal of an ass. So the Bible says this is fulfilling the Lord Jesus Christ, the Messiah, who would come in a meek fashion to you. And so he came on the colt and he rode into town. But notice, meekness is not weakness. Because as we read on, it just said he was fulfilling the prophecy that he was meek. But now notice in verse 12, he comes into town. In verse 12, and Jesus went into the temple of God and what? Cast out all them that sold and bought in the temple, and overthrew the tables of the money changers and the seats of them that sold doves, and said unto them, it is written, my house shall be called the house of what? Prayer, but ye have made it a den of thieves. The Bible says here that Jesus came into town meek, but when he came into the temple, meekness is not weakness. Because when he came into the temple and saw how they were buying and selling in God's house, he drove them out, overturned the tables. Another passage tells us, too, that he made a whip. He drove them out. Meekness is not weakness. Meekness is not thinking of self. Not trying to bring revenge or avenge. But meekness is a gentleness to it. But meekness, when our Savior, when people try to, the words fail me. When they try to mock his holiness or bring down his high and lifted up position, when they try to buy and sell in his house, that is not the time to say, well, I got to turn the other cheek. You know, I don't like that going on in God's house, but you know, I've just got to turn the other cheek. And I know when it comes to self, we have to die to self. But when it comes to them offending the one and only holy God, it's time to not think of self. And it's time to speak up, whether they like us or hate us. That's the time to speak up. That's the time to be meek. And so witnessing requires great meekness. It requires dying to self. You know how it is. When you think about giving a gospel tract to someone, all those thoughts that run through your mind, and many times it's, what will they think? Here's a man, here's a woman. What will they think if I give them this tract? Well, if we are meek, we have to die to self. It doesn't matter what they think of me. I must get the truth to them. Shall we pray? Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the examples of Moses in the Old Testament, whom you testified was the meekest man upon the face of the earth. Meek, but not weak. He did not think of self. When they spoke against him, he did not try to retaliate against them. He left it with you. And yet when it came time where they were abusing, misusing worship, defiling worship of the true and the living God, he boldly came out and stood for you. And as we've seen, the same with the Lord Jesus, God Almighty in the flesh, came to this earth in a meek fashion. And yet, when they were defiling your house, he boldly went in there and drove them out. Lord, help us to discern the difference between the two. Help us to be meek. Help us not to think of self, but to boldly stand for you. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.